RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome in. It is Sports Daily on this Monday morning. Tommy Caster alongside Jackson Schneider here this morning with you as we get ready to recap a wild week 17 in the NFL and a whole lot more to get to on today's program. Max Power is producing the program. That KFH hotline is open at 869-1240. You can leave us your video comments if you're watching us on Facebook, on X, on YouTube. Leave us your comments. We can get them right up on the screen and get to them as the show rolls on today. You know, I couldn't stay away. It's been about 3 months since I left Sports Daily, but you know, when they come calling, when Jacob and TJ say, hey, we need some help filling in, why not? Got to come back. Got to have a little bit of fun here on this Monday morning. And I'm excited to be across from Jackson Schneider for the very first time here on the program. Jackson, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing good, except for I got to figure out how you get the good deal to be nice and warm and comfortable at home this morning. It was freezing on my way out here. It's crazy the U-turn we've taken in the last 24 hours or so after having such great weather on Christmas. We were outside taking walks and playing outside on Christmas Day. It was crazy, but now it feels more like Christmas to me outside, and I was freezing my butt off on the way in.
Yeah, it gets a little chilly at like 6 o'clock or 6:30 when you're getting ready to head in. Yeah, you're right. It was like a California Christmas, but then all of a sudden we pump the brakes on that, and it gets pretty freaking cold outside. And so hopefully everybody is staying warm and bundling up. I'm excited to join you on the show. I know you filled in a few times since I've left the program, but You've got me and Jackson for the next couple of hours here on Sports Daily, as both Jacob Albrecht and TJ Cleland are out today. And so looking forward to it. How was your Christmas? I know you've got a little one. Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it was good. It was kind of weird, you know, our first Christmas as a family, you know, and how different that is than the Christmas of my past have been. But like in all of the best ways. Like he's 8 months old, and so he's kind of starting to move around and figure things out, but we couldn't really keep his attention on all the presents he was getting. So we kind of opened them for him, and then it just would magically appear in front of him, and he'd love it for about 2 minutes and then move on to the next thing. But it was a blast, and I only had to put together a few things, so get to push that down the line. I know, I'm sure as a dad yourself, you got a lot of toy assembly going on the last several days.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't slow down, at, you know, the older that they get. My kids are 4.5 and 2.5, and so there were a lot of toys to put together and a lot of excitement on Christmas. They're into the, you know, full swing Santa mode and all of that. It's fun, but it's also exhausting. You know, we put the kids to bed on Christmas, and my wife and I are like, all right, maybe we should kick our feet up for a little bit just because of all of the excitement and everything. But it's fun. It's worth it. I'm a little Christmased out, I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those guys where I'm good with it until, you know, it's all wrapped up. And then I'm like, all right, let's take the tree down, get the lights off the house. You know, like, let's wrap things up and move on.
Yeah, I think I'm about ready to join you there. we had our like second and third Christmas celebrations this weekend, and
yeah.
After that second one where it lasts a little bit longer than you maybe you'd like, which is not a problem. It's just exhausting when it lasts, you know, all day long and you see the whole family. Like, I'm gassed. I'm ready to move on and relax. And that's the one thing maybe keeping our tree up another couple days is that I don't think I have the energy at home to go take it down right now.
I did. My wife and I were talking just the other day and going back to the weather discussion that we were having. We're kicking ourselves that we didn't get all of the outdoor decorations taken down a couple days ago when the weather was so nice. You know, and I think we were actually talking about doing it yesterday. And then, you know, of course, you know, it got so cold and brutal wind chills and all of that. And we're like, man, we missed our window to take all those decorations down, but we'll get it done. I don't want to be one of those families that has lights up until like February, you know, like let's actually brave the cold and get it done.
It's so weird. Like, this is our first time living in a place where we could have real Christmas decorations, and we didn't do much. We have like one inflatable Christmas thing in the yard right now. We just kind of took it easy. So my tear down outside is not a problem at all, but it's like, we were the first ones, I think, on our block to have something out right after Thanksgiving, and everything popped up like a week or two before Christmas. And now it's already starting to come down. One of our neighbors was out there fighting the wind and the cold yesterday and taking things down. He's better than I am, because that one inflatable Stitch wearing a Santa hat in our yard is staying there for another couple days.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And, you know, I think one thing that contributes, at least for me, kind of being done with Christmas and the Christmas spirit being over, was that performance from the Chiefs on Christmas night against the Broncos. I know that the guys have talked at length about the disappointment of the Chiefs season. When I've been on Fridays doing our Friday football picks, I chimed in a little bit on that. This will be the first time that I've at least gotten to discuss the Chiefs at length since I left the show back in September, and you and I will get into that more as the show goes on. We'll have Joshua Briscoe, who is our Chiefs insider, the pregame and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network. He should be joining us in our second hour to talk about that as well. But I guess maybe the only silver lining, Jackson, is that slowly but surely the Chiefs are improving their draft position once we get to that NFL draft in April, because it was another rough game on Christmas night for Kansas City.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been talking about draft positioning, hasn't it? That's kind of a weird thing to say is a good thing. But I will say this, you know, despite losing on Christmas and despite playing a bunch of backups, I had more fun watching that Chiefs game than I had in weeks watching them actually fighting to try and keep their playoff hopes alive. Like, Chris Oladokun is clearly not Patrick Mahomes, but he's got a little dog in him. I'll be honest. I was very impressed with what he showed, especially in that last drive, though they came up a little bit short. He did what he had to do to give them a chance to win. And a lot of those younger guys or fringe roster guys fighting for spots were doing everything they could to at least give you something to watch on Christmas night, because there was nothing to play for except for pride. And I enjoyed watching that a heck of a lot more than I did the last several weeks of Chiefs football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you're right. It's kind of the understatement of the year that Chris Oladokun is not Patrick Mahomes, although he showed some gumption out there for sure. And the other big storyline in that game, which I know we'll get into later on in the program, was that Travis Kelce's final game inside Arrowhead Stadium. A lot of storylines, even though the Chiefs are now 6-10. We'll talk draft position. We'll talk about what the offseason should look like for Kansas City, who they should cut bait with, who they should bring back, what the draft should look like for them, and a whole lot more with our buddy Joshua Briscoe coming up in hour number two. We should have Paul Mills, head coach, Shocker men's basketball, coming up later this hour. That could be next segment, could be the segment after. We're kind of on waiting on bated breath on what that's going to look like with Paul Mills. We should have both of those guys. Holiday schedules get a little bit tricky, so yeah, we're crossing our fingers that we'll have them, but that should be coming up a little bit later on in the program as well. Like I mentioned at the very top, a wild week 17 in the NFL, a wild Sunday night football game. I was thoroughly entertained by the 49ers and the Bears. Brock Purdy looks like the best quarterback in football right now. So that's going on as well. We'll talk more about the NFL week 17. We're into the CFP week. Bowl season is in full swing and a whole lot more that we're going to get to here on the program. We are just underway here on Sports Daily on this Monday morning. Max Power producing the program. Jackson Schneider. I'm Tommy Caster. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on this Monday morning. Tommy Caster, Jackson Schneider with you. Hopefully you had a great holiday. You're avoiding that holiday hangover as we are in that weird time between Christmas and New Year's when you're losing track of what day of the week it is and if you've showered, if you've put pants on. We're kind of in that stage right now of the holiday season. So we appreciate you joining us here bright and early on this Monday morning on Sports Daily on KFH. Max Power producing the program. He'll take your calls on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. And of course, you can leave us your video comments on Facebook, on X, on YouTube. We'll get to those comments as the show rolls on. Before the break, Jackson, we teased a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs. Losers at home, by a touchdown at Arrowhead Stadium on Christmas night. A few days had passed since that game, and we've had a lot of football around the NFL since then, so it's easy to kind of have that fall through the cracks a little bit. But I do want to go back to that game, because as we talked about, there were still some storylines with that game. You know, we're talking draft position for sure, as the Chiefs are now 6-10. And with the results of Week 17, it looks like they're, you know, more than likely going to get a top 10 draft pick somewhere around number 9, number 10, maybe number 11, just outside the top 10 as we get into Week 18. But that's a big storyline. Travis Kelce potentially playing his final game in Arrowhead Stadium as well. That's another storyline. And you mentioned Chris Oladokun getting his getting reps for really the first time in an NFL game, at least his first NFL start. What, in your mind, what was your major takeaway as far as storylines were concerned from that Chiefs game on Christmas night?
Well, watching the game on TV, the storyline you have to take away is that it might have been Travis Kelce's last home game. I mean, they must have mentioned it about 40 times. so they were really hammering that one home. But as it relates to on the field, I was left thinking to myself how much the Chiefs really need to improve their running game, because that was, to me, the biggest issue. You know, when you're starting Chris Oladokun, you're very clearly not going to be able to sling the ball around the yard like you want to when you have Patrick Mahomes back there, and especially when you're missing guys like Rashee Rice, you know, that are such a big part of your passing offense. You need to be able to run the ball. And, you know, looking at what the Chiefs did on the ground, I mean, they rushed for 82 yards, which isn't bad, but it's nowhere near what you'd like to have in a game like that. You know, they just weren't able to sustain the run game long enough to put some real drives together. I mean, they were out, I guess, possessed by the Broncos in this game in a major way. I mean, the Chiefs had the ball for 20 minutes and 32 seconds, and nearly double that for the Broncos, because they could run the ball, they could sustain drives. And to me, running the ball is like the great equalizer in today's NFL, because you can milk the clock and keep the ball out of your opponent's hands even when you're not able to find success in the passing game. But the old man in Kareem Hunt, who's done a really nice job in, you know, fourth and one situations and kind of being the battering ram in those short yardage situations, is great. But it's not going to be enough to get you what you really need to get down the field. And Isaiah Pacheco, since his injury last year, just hasn't been the same either. So the Chiefs, to me, need to find a solid running back, and they got to get some help on the offensive line, because that's clearly an issue. And when you're dealing with as many injuries as they've had, you know, that's just not going to be a recipe for success. But my question for you, Tommy, is this. Are you surprised that the Chiefs, in their running issues right now, they haven't really gone to Breshad Smith like at all, because his only touches came in either special teams, or I think he caught a couple of passes, if memory serves me right, but he never got a traditional carry, and he's the youngest running back on the roster right now, and they just don't look his way in the traditional sense. It's been really surprising to me. I'm curious if you felt the same way.
Yeah, that's been a major frustration among Chiefs fans during the last few weeks, primarily because you're already out of the playoffs. You know, you're not making a run. So why not see what you've got in some of these younger guys? It's not just Breshad Smith, but Jalen Royals, they clearly don't feel like he can get the job done, which is frustrating considering where they drafted him. He hasn't gotten any looks either. And I know he missed the first few games with injury, but he's been a healthy scratch. And even when he's gotten field, hasn't gotten really any kind of targets or looks or anything. So Jalen Royals and Breshad Smith both, that's been frustrating. Smith did get into the end zone on Christmas night. He did have that one touchdown catch, but you're right, he didn't get any traditional carries. They didn't utilize him as an active part of the running game whatsoever. And you know what? Look, like, I like Kareem Hunt. I've always liked Kareem Hunt. I'm glad that he's back with the Chiefs. I wouldn't mind if he's willing to take the league minimum, I wouldn't mind him coming back next season to just be kind of that late down, short yardage kind of guy. I don't have an issue with that necessarily. But they need to have an overhaul outside of that in the running game. Isaiah Pacheco was a nice story when he was healthy, but you're right. He's lost a step. He's not the same. I think you've got to go out and try to figure out a way to make your running game more effective. And at least something, because here's the thing, Jackson, and I want to get your take on this. It's not as though the Chiefs aren't trying to run the ball, because they are, maybe even more so than what we've become accustomed to them doing. But it's almost like defenses don't take it seriously at all,
yeah.
Right? Like, you look at who you've got in the backfield, and they look at Isaiah Pacheco, who's not the same guy that he was in the past, or they look at Kareem Hunt, and they're not scared by that at all. They're not going to sell out to stop the run because they know that these guys just aren't effective.
Absolutely. I think it's pretty easy to see, and watching the game on Christmas, you know, the Broncos were basically daring the Chiefs to run the football.
Yeah.
And even though the Chiefs continued to try to run the football, I mean, they ran the ball, what? I'm looking at the box score here. So 19 times.
19.
And every single one of those, I think, was, with the exception of a couple of like third and fourth and shorts, were very favorable boxes to run against. The Broncos were just like, go ahead, like, let's see what you can do. And because they are not afraid of any of the rushing threat of the Chiefs, because if you get 3 or 4 yards, so what? It's the threat of getting to the second level and kind of creating a gashing run that you really need to have, and the Chiefs just don't have that. I mean, I think a big run right now for Kareem Hunt is like 7 or 8 yards. And when he does, you're like, oh, hey, there's a big one. And then you realize, oh, it's not even a first down. So I think a lot of teams are very okay with traditional passing defense or putting all their energy into stopping the pass, especially now against Chris Oladokun. Like, if you can pass against this defense, you know, they'll tip their cap and say okay, because they're not going to be worried about you running the football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jacob has loved to say for the last, I don't know, year and a half on this program that Kareem Hunt has, quote, no juice. And I don't disagree with him. Like, he doesn't have a whole lot of juice left in his career. But not many people on this offense have any juice. Actually, not many people on this team in general have any juice. And so it's not just Kareem Hunt. It's the running game in general. It's the offensive scheme in general. It's the way that the roster is right now. And of course, you're dealing with a ton of injuries and people that are out, and the Chiefs are out of it and all of that. Would you be a proponent, going back to the run game discussion, would you be a proponent of the Chiefs using their first round draft pick, a top 10 pick, on a running back? Or are there bigger issues that you think that they need to address?
If it's the right running back, I would be okay with it. Like, but the problem is that is a very short list. And I think it starts and ends with Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame.
That's pretty much it.
If he falls to you, I think you go for it and you don't apologize. But I don't think he's falling to 9 or 10 or wherever the Chiefs are. I think after yesterday, they sit at 9th right now. So that could change depending on what happens in the Raiders game on Sunday, which, by the way, that was announced. I don't know if anyone saw late last night. It'll be 3:25 on Sunday against the Raiders to close out the regular season, which is a completely other situation we can talk about later on whether or not we want the Chiefs to try in that game,
yeah.
Tommy. But
going
back to what we were talking about there, I think there are much bigger issues that need to be addressed. And it's maybe a lot deeper than just drafting, but I think the Chiefs need to put some serious energy into overhauling their defensive front more than anything, because Chris Jones is eating a huge chunk of money, and so is George Karloftis now, and both of those guys collectively, along with the rest of the cast of characters on the defensive front for the Chiefs, did virtually nothing this season. And you have to create some sort of disruption up front to help your defense out. And, you know, when you're paying guys like Chris Jones as much money as you are, you'd certainly like a lot more than 5 sacks. And I'd certainly, on top of that, like a lot more than 1 or 2 plays a season where I can look back and go, hey, he actually made a difference there. That was awesome, because that happened far too few times this season for a guy making that much money. And I think if you go find a young talent that could be a difference maker defensively, that could start to fix a lot of problems, because offensive lines will start to have to game plan for that guy and free up some of the other guys that you're paying a lot of money right now that can, you know, help you out next year and beyond.
I was absolutely vehemently opposed to the Chiefs taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round back when was that 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. right after their first Super Bowl win. Because at that point, the offense was cooking, and I'm like, man, they need, and if you recall, like the defense was not very good.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, they need to address defense if they want to continue this. And I know that wasn't like a top 10 pick. That was the last pick in the first round, and they took CEH with that, and we all know how that turned out. I hated that pick at the time. It's a little bit different right now because the offense is not humming along. Like you've got issues schematically with the Chiefs offensively, where maybe having a dynamic running back in the backfield that you take in the first round, or, you know, maybe even a second round pick, like an early round draft pick on a running back, that may help them incrementally offensively, which is kind of what the Chiefs have needed. That being said, though, I don't disagree with you. There are a myriad of issues that are affecting this team on both sides of the ball. And it's that philosophy of, and I've said it before to people, that the whole philosophy, the mantra of, quote, run it back, was really cute at first. It was really fun at first. It was like, all right, cool. Like, let's bring everybody back and try to do this again. And now you're seeing the cracks in the foundation. You're seeing that philosophy was the wrong philosophy by Brett Veach and Andy Reid, because of the fact that all these other teams got better. You stayed the same, or maybe even got worse in some positions, because you had players getting a year older. You mentioned Chris Jones, the George Karloftis contract. Karloftis is fine, but he's not amazing. He's never probably going to be amazing. He's okay. You gave contracts to guys in some cases that you probably shouldn't have given contracts to. And now you've got to do the work, if you're Brett Veach in the offseason, to try to untangle yourself from kind of the mess that you've built with cap space and bad contracts and that sort of thing under the guise of, quote, run it back, because that clearly didn't work for Kansas City this season. I think for me, if I had to rank the needs going into the offseason, and I don't know if it's necessarily draft or a trade or free agency or what it is, but number one for me is edge rusher. Like, I think they need to have somebody who can disrupt the game at all levels multiple times a game coming off of the edge, because they've got Chris Jones, coming up the middle. He's going to get another year older next season. We saw a drop in his productivity, and George Karloftis just isn't going to be that guy. So if I'm Brett Veach, I'm prioritizing that. Mm-hmm. But you're right when you say, like, they've got a lot of different things they've got to address in the offseason.
I don't think I'd be mad. Like, either, like, there's nothing Brett Veach can do that will upset me, because he knows there's, like, you can put a piece of duct tape over any crack and it's not going to fix all the problems. So he can do, you know, whatever he feels is best to take that first pick. What I'm interested in, though, is how they'll approach it, because it's been so long since the Chiefs have been in this type of draft position. Like, the last time that I remember the Chiefs even picking this high was when they ended up trading up a few spots and drafting a guy named Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's been forever. And
we all know how that turned out, by the way.
Yeah, which I will be the first to admit, I was not a fan at that juncture, because, you know, being a KU student at the time, and which is funny to say, like, I watched Patrick Mahomes play football and I was rooting for KU at the time, and I was not sold on him to be the guy. Meanwhile, KU football was maybe 2-10 that season. That's a whole other sidebar we could talk about, but it's worked out pretty darn well when you picked high. But the problem being, when you picked later, it hasn't been very good. I mean, they hosted the draft and picked Felix Anudike Uzomah, and that didn't really work out at all. I mean, he barely saw the field in the last couple of seasons and likely won't be back next year, which stinks because he's a local kid, was from Kansas City. But I'm very curious to see where their head is at selection-wise, because, again, they haven't picked so high in a long, long time. And frankly, their last several picks late in the first round haven't been that great either. So, I mean, the possibilities here are endless, and it makes me, like, cautiously optimistic, but also very concerned.
Yeah, there have been, you know, with every really great pick, like a Patrick Mahomes pick, there have been some swings and misses. I know, like, they've hit on the offensive line. You know, you draft Creed Humphrey, and, you know, there are some other guys that they've hit on for sure. But there have been some swings and misses. I saw this yesterday, which just kind of, like, made my heart hurt, that I don't know if you saw Trey McBride for the Cardinals set a record yesterday for the most catches by a tight end in a season. The pick right before Trey McBride was the Chiefs drafting Sky Moore. And the very next pick, the Cardinals took Trey McBride. And so I see that and I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine Travis Kelce and Trey McBride in the same offense? And then the passing of the baton when Travis Kelce decides to ride off into the sunset. And then you've got Trey McBride as your tight end. Like, that was a guy the Chiefs could have had a few years ago when that draft took place. So with every great Patrick Mahomes pick, there's been a Sky Moore or a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a Felix Anudike-Uzomah. Like, there've been some whiffs in the draft for sure for Brett Veach. So you definitely need to make sure that, especially if you're picking in a top 10 position, this offseason, that you're doing your due diligence, and I know that they will, but figuring out, okay, what can we attack here? Where can we get incrementally better? Because there are holes up and down our roster now that we've got to try to figure out a way to make it work. I think the other big takeaway for me, and we're not going to have time to talk about it in this segment. Maybe we can follow it up next segment if we don't have Paul Mills or later on in the show. I was not impressed with the Broncos whatsoever. And, like, they're winning games and they're the AFC West champions. And I've actually been on the Broncos for a lot of the season. Jacob calls them frauds. I think they're better than frauds, but they did not look good on Thursday night whatsoever. So for me, like, that's the other big thing too. Like, you were one final Chris Oladokun drive away from tying that ball game against a team that might end up getting the number one seed in the AFC, which does tell you how there's parity in this league right now. Joined by Paul Mills, head coach of Shocker men's basketball. Coach Mills, thanks so much for joining us today. How was your Christmas?
Great, great. Good to be with you, Jackson and Tommy.
Good to see you today. I know that we are just knocking on the doorstep, coach, of American Conference play. We've wrapped up the non-con, getting ready for a road trip to UAB later this week. Now that we're through non-conference play and we're getting ready to hop into American play in just a couple of days, what's the state of your program? How do you feel like wrapping up non-conference play as we're getting ready to take on UAB later this week?
Yeah, again, I think it just really depends on, you know, who you have on your roster. You know, with 12 new guys, this is kind of a different evaluation than what we were a year ago and kind of returning some starters. I think that if you look at it, the things that we needed to address, we just weren't a very good perimeter shooting team a year ago, and we jumped 215 spots. I think we were 339 last year out of the 365 schools. And, you know, now you're sitting at 124. And so, hey, we've addressed that. I think we have some interior presence. We have a better defense than we did a year ago. So all of that to say, some of the metrics that we kind of gauge just where we're at, I do understand the biggest metric is, do you win or do you lose? And that's the biggest one. But there's winning is a byproduct of doing certain things. And, you know, fortunately, a year ago, we were number one team in all of college basketball at getting shots at the rim. And that hasn't changed. And as you know, teams, the best shot in basketball is a layup or a dunk. The second best shot's a free throw. But, you know, I think you're both aware that teams just don't let you go in there and dunk the ball. And our problem was when we would draw attention and we sprayed it out, we just couldn't make people pay from the perimeter. And I feel like we've addressed that. I feel like our defense has gotten better. Now it's a matter of, can we stay healthy? Can we continue to get better? Because no team stays the same. So there's a lot of metrics that I look at and feel good about as we move into conference.
Coach, I just want to say, appreciate the time again for joining us this morning. And you've had a little over a week now since that Eastern Kentucky win, a little time from for the holidays. I'm sure some guys got to go back home. Do you feel that that holiday reset is necessary before the sprint that is conference play? I mean, for not just your players, but yourself as well, just to take a day or two and just take a deep breath and relax.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the assistants at Oklahoma State when Eddie Sutton was there, and he was telling me how they did not give their kids Christmas off. And he said it helped us at the beginning of conference, but we sure paid for it come the end of January. It's like teachers in school. You don't realize this when you're in the second and third grade. It's just, man, they do not like me. They just teach every day. And then all of a sudden you're around the teacher and they're like, man, we can't wait to get away from those kids. I think the break is needed for coaches. I think it's really important for players because they get to go recharge and see their families. And then, you know, we didn't play. I know there were teams that played on the 27th. I've played on Christmas Day. There's a tournament down in Hawaii called the Diamond Head Classic that used to be on Christmas Day, and it was an awful experience. We lost, so that probably didn't make it much better. But I will tell you, it's really important for players to go see their families, to see their loved ones, to get, you know, full days to be with that family. We try to play our game before Christmas as early as possible. I know we played it on the 21st, but the 23rd, 24th, 25th, we definitely try to give those guys their full attention at home. And I do think it's important. And I do think that come later in the year that there's a lot of value that gets added there because I do think people are re-energized.
Maybe the one guy on your team, coach, that, you know, probably would have loved to play again after that Eastern Kentucky game was Caron Boyd. And just what he was able to do offensively, especially early in that game, we all know about his defensive prowess, what he does in locking players down defensively and all of that. But what he did offensively in that game against Eastern Kentucky, making those shots from three early on, 22 points, a career best for him. What does that tell you as far as his overall evolution as a player on your team?
Yeah, I mean, he's primarily been a four-man and played the power forward position. You know, he's a Division II player that went to East Tennessee State and could really rebound the ball. And we needed to move him to the perimeter. We actually explored quite a bit this summer his decision-making ability. And so we were really trying to develop perimeter skills. I give a ton of credit to my staff. They were in the gym with Caron 7 a.m. in June and July. And conference championships are won on random days in the summer. And you got to be willing to put in that time. To Caron's credit, he is. We had two-a-days yesterday. And, you know, first practice was at 9 a.m. And, you know, at 7:30, I walked into Coke Arena a little before 7. And at 7:30, I hear a ball bouncing, and it's Caron. And what you appreciate about guys like that is they play with confidence. But their confidence isn't this phony confidence. It's from all the work that I've been willing to put in during those days. So you really appreciate a guy that's willing to step up and shoot the ball with that level of confidence. I think he's made more threes now than he has all of last year. And we're getting close to, you know, what he's done his entire career in the Division I level. So the fact that he's put in the time, that he's doing it with confidence, I told him when we were watching film as a team 2 days ago, just said, Caron, the expectation is that you be the best defensive player in the league. We already knew he was going to bring that, but his offensive ability is really a tribute to him, and it's a testament to our staff and the time that's been put in order to develop him.
Coach, you know, not only are you coming off of a win over Eastern Kentucky and the offense kind of ticking in the right direction to head into the holiday break, but rebounding-wise, you put in your best outing since like February of last season. You know, 49 rebounds. Will Berg had 12 again, did a really nice job on the glass. I'm just curious kind of how you've seen your team develop as a rebounding group, because that can take you just as far as, you know, getting to the rim like you talked about earlier, is if you can end possessions by getting the rebound.
Yeah, I mean, I just, to be honest with you, I can't think of anything that's actually more important than rebounding. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, the ball's the most important thing on the court. And you need to be able to extend possessions. You know, I think everybody understands that every rebound is an offensive rebound. You know, if you get an offensive rebound while you're on offense, you're being able to extend possessions. And then at the same time, if you're getting a defensive rebound, you're able to generate and begin your offense. We are pretty good in transition offense. But the only way that happens is if we rebound the basketball. Our pace isn't great. In regards to, like, we're not going to fly up and down the court, have 80 possessions in a game. But we are our points per possession in transition, because we can stretch you, we can get shots at the rim. We have quick guards in Kenyon Giles and Dre Kendall, and they can find other people as well as create shots for themselves. All of that is a non-factor if we don't rebound the ball. So we're 14th in the country at offensive rebounding. That way we can extend possessions. Caron Boyd is obviously a huge part of that, as well as the interior guys that we mentioned. And at the same time, you know, we're not where we want to be. We're in the 80s being able to defensive rebound. But I do think that it's the name of the game. We talk about three things around here. We are going to rebound the ball, we're going to take care of the ball, and we're going to share it. And now, share doesn't always lead to assist. Sometimes share is just making a pass in order to take a advantage of whatever we believe is occurring on the floor in a cross match. But all of that to say, we've done a really good job of rebounding the ball and taking care of the ball.
Paul Millschucker, men's basketball, joining us here on Sports Daily. Last one from us, and I'm sure you're sick of talking about it, but we'd be remiss to not mention that we're glad that you're feeling great, feeling better. Hopefully that has continued. How are you feeling now as we're getting into conference play?
Yeah, and honest to goodness, I feel great. You know, you have a situation that it's one of those deals where I've mentioned this before. It's one of those deals where, you know, you don't have much water pressure. And then all of a sudden somebody comes in and remodels, and they not only do they add shower heads, but they amp up the water pressure. And you just walk out of the shower cleaner. You're like, man, that little drizzly shower I used to have, I thought I was operating pretty well with it. And come to find out, you know, I was a little behind the curve. The blood flow to the heart, I mean, I did not know that cholesterol is 80% hereditary. Mm-hmm. I was that person that when I would go get physicals, I'm like, yeah, I can work that off. You know, all those questions I ask when you go to the doctor, are you allergic to anything? Do you take medication? Do you drink? Do you smoke? I'm like, no, 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 no. Do you exercise? Yes, 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 yes. And all that. So you think you're immune to all that stuff. And the truth is you're not. And I think that it's made me way more purpose driven. And just the value of your days, being diligent in all aspects of life. But I honestly feel great, and blood is flowing, and the blood actually flows a whole lot more as you get closer to conference. So we're anxious for Wednesday.
Yeah, glad you're feeling good. And yeah, you mentioned Wednesday, New Year's Eve basketball, Wednesday afternoon on the road at UAB to kick off American play. We'll have the coverage of all of it over on 103.7 KEYN. Coach, we appreciate your time. We're glad that you had a great holiday, and we're looking forward to conference play kicking off on Wednesday.
Tommy Jackson, Happy New Year.
You too. There goes Coach Mills here on Sports Daily. And, you know, look, Jackson, I think we've got a couple minutes here before we take our break. I think just the fact that now we're getting into conference play, you know, we get through the non-con, get through some of those teams that, you know, we don't particularly care all that much about that the Shockers are playing. Now these games, conference play, they're trying to win an American championship. They're trying to get that automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. Of course, every single game matters, and it kicks off on Wednesday.
You're telling me you don't care about Mount Marty? Come on.
I was at that game. I actually went to that game. That was I haven't been able to make it out to many games at Coke Arena this season. Little kids, it makes it hard. But the Mount Marty game, I was at that one. And no, I can't say I care about Mount Marty at all. Although I will say I thought they played pretty decent. Now Marty did, at least in the first half.
Hey, I will always say you'll get more out of teams like that that are hungry and want to play rather than playing like a Prairie View A&M that is just there to collect the check and move on. Like, you're going to get a fight out of an NAIA team almost every single time.
Yeah. Coming from an NAIA guy in Jackson Schneider. Yeah, I'm NAIA
guy,
biased, too.
It is what it is.
I'm a Southwestern guy, so I get it. I'm NAIA as well. I'm excited, though, that conference play kicks off on Wednesday. Shockers at UAB on New Year's Eve over on KUYN. That's going to do it for hour number one here on Sports Daily. A lot of football talk coming for you in hour number two. Stick around.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.